Welcome, everyone, to Dirt Doctor Radio, specializing in how to be honestly green. There'll be no greenwashing here, just accurate advice on products and techniques that are healthy to use, save money, and are really good for the environment. Tips and suggestions from listeners are encouraged, so give us a call at 866-444-3478. It's now time to venture through the foggy misinformation and learn about what truly is green. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor and proud owner of Mystery Dog Tater, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. The show is pretty simple. We talk organic gardening, landscaping, and healthy living, and don't mind your tips or suggestions. If you have a question, give me a call at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478, or if you have a report. If you have something that's not working, we'll try to help out. This hour is brought to you by all of the wonderful sponsors that we have. We've got a lot of them. We've got some new ones coming on board lately and some more coming up. You can check out our website, dirtdoctor.com, and see most of those. You'll hear them on the show here, the podcast. We don't cut any of the ads out, so if you hear something that caught your ear and you forgot what it was, you can listen to the podcast on dirtdoctor.com and hear some of exactly the same thing that was on the air. We do have a an app now that works great, so if that's a convenient way for you to listen to the show, do that as well. Let's see. And by the way, more and more people in different cities around the country are contacting us. If you have a radio station that you listen to that you think might be interested in the show, let them know and we'll contact them. It's a pretty simple setup the way we do it. And we have a lot of people join and very few people drop off. So let them know if you think they might be interested, and we'd be glad to talk to them. Our friend, the snake expert, Daryl, next up in Lancaster. Hey, Daryl.
Greetings, Howard.
What's
How
up?
How's your world?
Oh, pretty good. I had another snake mystery the other day. I was going to call you about it, so I'll just tell you and the rest of the audience. I was out looking at the koi and messing with them, and a white belly of a snake caught my eye in the bottom of the bottom of the koi pond. I pulled it out with a little rake, and it was missing a head. And I have no earthly idea what could have caused it. It was one of those water snakes, you know.
Right.
Would koi have the ability to do that? A big
no,
koi?
But a snapping turtle passing through might.
Yeah, I haven't seen any big turtles. We got our four little turtles in there, but I haven't seen any big beasts at all.
How far is this water from other water?
Oh, you know, the creek down through the bamboo forest and everything is 150 feet, 200 feet away, and then White Rock Lake's a long way away, you know, a couple of miles.
Yeah, but the creek could be, because that sounds like snapping turtle behavior to me.
Okay.
Snap the head all the way off. I mean, the head was nowhere else to be seen.
No, just, I couldn't find the head. It was ripped off, too.
Wow.
I thought it was kind of curious, so I was going to tell you about it anyway. So, anyway, I did a quick search, and there were a couple of comments about don't leave it in the water to decay. That could be bad for the fish, so I got it out of there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Anyway, what's up with you?
Well, a couple of things. One, I just saw a movie that I think it's in the sort of the same genre as Food, Inc., and I think is just as much required viewing. It's called Doctored, the past tense of doctor.
Yeah.
And is a very interesting discussion of where medical care has gone in this country and some of what we allow to happen here that nobody else does and all that sort of stuff. I think it's fairly heavily slanted toward chiropractic, which I agree, chiropractic, it's a good place for it to come from because they were some of the ones that caught some of the most heat from the medical profession for trying to even exist.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, I think there are alternatives that that actually work better, but that's just me. But at any rate, the movie I highly recommend. It's a documentary called Doctored.
Doctored. I will check it out. Sounds like something worth watching.
Second issue, the station that it was on, I was just watching it on closed caption because I was busy with something else, and a commercial goes by, and it's for this, you know, candle that, you know, has got an LED at the bottom where you can change the color. Cute idea. But one of the big things that splashed across the screen was 100% pure vanilla-scented paraffin. That whole sentence just blows my mind. Because not only is vanilla scent not 100% pure, almost any way that they make the scent happen, but to call paraffin wax pure is insane. It's the foam at the top of a defractionating shower when they make oil into gas, and, you know, they bleach it, and then, of course, they have to add chemicals to it to make it smell.
Unless there's some other kind of paraffin, which I don't have any idea.
Yeah, so paraffin, I always tell people, if you like candles and you want to be, you know, embrace the natural lifestyle and, you know, the organic everything, it's stick with soy and beeswax.
Okay.
They're more expensive, but it's worth doing. I mean, they burn non-toxically. It's just a better thing, period, in most cases.
Well, beeswax would be better than soy, too. Soy's got issues as well.
I know, but GMO. I think burning it, at least it's a whole lot more pure than paraffin is. Mm-hmm. Beeswax, the problem with beeswax is it only comes in one smell and one color, and that's beeswax smell, beeswax color, which I think both are very nice. It's a different thing to burn a beeswax candle, too. It's a little bit like tending a fire. You know, you need to be there with a chopstick to tend it. It burns longer. It's healthier to do, but shouldn't be left unattended. And final thing, the day after, well, actually, the after your next show on the October, well, actually, it's two shows away, October 4th, Sunday, 2 p.m., you and your family invited to come catch my show at the Addison Improv, if you like, and anybody else in the Dallas listening area. It's a fun show, and that's one of the better places to see it.
All right. Got all kind of good things this morning, Daryl. Thanks, as always.
Thank you, sir.
We'll see you at the Rogers sometime soon, as you know. And I put the picture of one of the barred owls I met on my Facebook, and it's gotten a couple of nice comments. He's a cute little guy.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
All right. See you soon. Check out my Facebook, and rather than my picture, there's a picture of my new little friend, the barred owl, and he's looking very inquisitively at me. Facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor. Call, couldn't hold one to know what pros and cons of cedar elm are. Cedar elm, mostly pros. It's a native tree to this part of the world, the North Texas area, grows in a bigger, wider range than that across the south. It's the elm tree that probably has the smallest leaf. It feels like sandpaper. It is native here. It has a few insect and disease problems. The biggest one is a fungus. It's kind of a mildew type of an effect, or what it is mildew. I guess it hits late summer. A lot of times you'll see cedar elms that start turning brown, not the nice yellow fall color, but start turning brown late summer. And I don't know if it's totally genetic. It's definitely partly genetic, because I see some cedar elms around in the same area that are still nice and dark green. So purchasing a cedar elm at this time of the year, where you can see whether it has that little genetic issue or not, would be wise to do. I think under an organic program, you have very little of that, because the cedar elms that I have around me under organic programs that I've seen have had very small amounts of that. Cedar elm, the other negative about cedar elm is that it is probably the most sensitive tree I've ever run into as an arborist to over pruning, especially taking too many of the lower limbs off. In other words, lifting the tree. It seems to throw it for a loop and causes it to go in stress, and then you get all kinds of problems that lead from that up to and including death of the tree. So if you have cedar elms, try to leave as many low limbs as you can, maybe even more so than you do on other plants. It's also pretty sensitive to, like most trees, maybe a little bit more to flush cutting. You know, these people that still recommend flush cutting, very bad for any tree. But cedar elm, it would be very high on the list of once you do a flush cut, within a number of years, who knows how many, there will develop in that spot a cavity in the trunk of the tree. It's almost 100% of the time. You always want to leave what some people would call a little bit of a stub. The stub is the branch collar. It's part of the trunk. It should not be cut away or even cut into. And if you're wondering, you know, which way to err, you need to err on the side of leaving too long a stub. All right, we got a lot of people lined up. We'll get back to the phones straight away after this. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, the website dirtdoctor.com, the free newsletter. Just fill out the form on the homepage there of dirtdoctor.com. If you have a question, look it up alphabetically in the library that's right there on the big yellow button on dirtdoctor.com.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Concerned about drought? Think Hydratain. When you're planting new shrubs, trees, flowers, or sod, think Hydratain. Want to reduce your water bill? Think Hydratain. After years of commercial use by golf courses, nurseries, sod farms, and top landscapers, Hydratain is now available to you. Hydratain allows you to water up to 50% less and maintain healthy, great-looking plants and turf. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydratain or order directly from Hydratain.com. That's HYDRETAIN.com.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation. circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Don't forget those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area to check out the SPCA Dog of the Week. He's a cutie. Brody, two-year-old, 41-pound Akita mix, and says he's a sweetie and looks like he would make a great pet. Really good-looking guy, too. So check him out on our website under the button, the SPCA Dog of the Week. Appreciate your help with those dogs and cats as well. Back to the phones. By the way, Faye dropped off, and she wanted to talk about coffee grounds. I'm not sure what, but, yeah, I recommend coffee grounds strongly. You can get them from grocery stores or from coffee shops. They make a wonderful organic fertilizer. I put some out every morning when I finish making my own coffee. I grind my own beans and make a coffee in a French press. I think it makes the cleanest tasting coffee, and I use an organic bean of some kind I get from about three different places, and put it out, and I've used a whole lot of it in one pot that has a begonia in it, a dragon wing begonia, and it likes it as a fertilizer, and a lot of plants will. So yeah, it's a good tool. Ed in Fort Worth next up. Hey, Ed.
Hi there.
What can I do for you?
I recently moved from a house where I had Bermuda grass and was using the organic program. Mm-hmm. Everything was great there, and I moved to a house now that has St. Augustine. And okay. I'm curious if there's anything I should not be doing to the St. Augustine that I was doing to the Bermuda, like maybe the corn gluten meal or something like that.
No, it's the same stuff. We're treating the soil, Ed, rather than the plants, and the program is really the same no matter what kind of crop we're growing. The only difference a little bit with Bermuda grass is it's a little bit heavier feeder. It would appreciate getting a little bit more fertilizer, and it also responds well to being mowed a little lower than St. Augustine. And those are the basic changes in it. It's going to be less tolerant of shade, you know, than St. Augustine grass. That's the only other thing. Other than that, it's the same program for any kind of grass.
Very good. Thank you.
I appreciate the call. good luck with your new place. It is another Ed in Fate, Texas. Hi, Ed.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Doing?
I'm doing good.
I got a question about fruit trees. We just moved into a new home here. We're right at the sort of the eastern edge of Rockwall, right across Ray Hubbard Lake, on right off I-30.
Sure.
Just a few miles away from Dallas. And we just moved into the house, and in the backyard there was one single plant, and that was a peach tree in the back corner of the yard. We moved in mid-June, and luckily, as happenstance would have it, the peaches were just coming into the perfection of ripeness, and we got to eat all the peaches that the previous owner had left for us. He didn't take them. He left them on the tree, and we were the recipient of all his good fruit there.
That's good.
And that set me to thinking, as I say, the yard's empty except for this, and it's got one little shrub, tiny little shrub, and that one peach tree. Got me thinking about a pipe dream of mine, and that was just to become an orchardman, to make my entire backyard an orchard, if you will, you know, with different kinds of fruit trees.
I'd be
my
fine
wife
to do.
Likes the idea, too.
Yeah, I'd be
it's
fine.
It's about 50 some odd square foot, 50 by 50 or so, maybe a little more than that. And I went to your website and looked up varieties that are best for our area. But I had a question about the preparation of planting and what you think about an orchard in a backyard. I'm just in a typical residential area, you know.
I think it's a good idea. I think the ideal thing from the trees standpoint would be for you to take out all the grass completely.
Okay.
And then plant and then mulch the entire area with shredded native tree trimmings. If the trees had a vote, that's what they would vote for.
Tree trimmings, shredded
native tree trimmings. Yeah, no grass, no cover crops, nothing except mulch. That's the ideal conditions for fruit trees, and then, of course, planting them properly, nice and high where the flare is showing, which is rare when people plant fruit trees.
Okay. I heard someone tell me that someone I heard somewhere said that make sure the roots are bare. Don't plant them in a pot or in the existing soil that comes in a pot. Just make sure they're bare.
I don't disagree with that. I'm a big bare root planter. You could buy the trees bare rooted too.
Okay.
What I normally do is I'll get a container grown tree or whatever, because sometimes that's the only way you can get them. And when I was in Oklahoma City a week or so ago, I showed them how to plant a tree. It was a pear tree, and the first thing I did was I took it out of the container and I held it up and I dropped it on the concrete. And that knocks all the loose soil, and you'll be amazed when you do that how much excess soil is up above the true flare of the tree. The other way to do it is just stick it in a big old bucket of water and soak it, and then kind of rake some of the excess soil off of it and do kind of a semi-bare rooted situation. What you want to do is you want to see what the roots are like, and if they're wound up in a knot, you want to soak in water and try to pull them loose so that there's more or less a bare root condition that you're putting in the ground, and then surrounding those roots with the existing native soil. So that was good advice, basically.
Okay, thank you. And also, how about the I thought we were supposed to plant them in the winter. Does that depend on does the time of that vary?
You can plant them anytime from containers. The best time bare-rooted is in the fall through the winter, when they're available at the nurseries. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run for a second. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore. The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growin' Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrot Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And the telephone number is 866-444-3478. Nancy in Dallas next up. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. Thanks for taking our call and for your wonderful program.
I appreciate it.
Our question is about ground cover. We have a lot of shade, and we're not real gardeners. The grass has sort of descended into not too much of anything special. So I'm thinking about replacing grass with ground cover. In is there something that stays green all year? Because some of them I know die.
There's several choices, and it's what I have to deal with in my garden, Nancy, because I have too many trees and too much shade, and it's what people put off too long. A lot of times they keep trying to grow grass where there's just not enough sunlight. The ground covers that look the most like grasses are in two categories, basically, and they're kin to each other a little bit. One's liriope, and it's monkey grass is the more common name, and then the other is ophiopogon, and the common name for it is mondo grass. And Mondo grass looks a lot like turf. In fact, some people mow it. It doesn't really like to be mowed that much, but it's it does tolerate it. I've seen some entire front yards where people have used Ophiopogon, and they mow it maybe once every couple of months or something like that.
I know about those too, and I had no idea like that could replace an entire lawn. And would we be able to just like put some of those plants amongst the remaining grass, regular grass?
It'll look pretty scrappy for a while if you do that. It would be much better to just to scrape the rest of the grass out, prepare the beds with some. You don't need as much as preparing beds for big plants, you know, but for ground cover, we put in a little bit of compost, a little bit of lava sand and green sand, a little bit of cornmeal and or dry molasses, and plant away. You'll just have a lot better look quicker if you go ahead and plant the entire area after preparing the beds. The other evergreens, of course, are English ivy, Persian ivy, Asian jasmine. For people in cooler climates, Pachysandra would work, and there's several others. Thyme in full sun would work, and sedums would work if you have enough sun. But for the shade, the ones we mentioned there first would be your best bet.
Okay, super. Thanks so much. I appreciate your help.
Appreciate the call.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go next to where? Dallas, and talk to John.
Howdy, Howard.
Hi, John.
Hey, you may remember a few months ago I uncovered the root flares on my big red oak after we lost a bunch of branches during the freeze.
Yeah, and you did a pretty dramatic uncovering, as I remember.
I did. It was a good project. But even before that, the big black army ants were in that tree, in two access holes. And I kind of just let them be, just kind of listening to you and understanding that they're not really damaging the tree, but I started to think that they are doing more damage than I think. And looking at it, they've pretty much eaten the whole side of the tree, and they've got access holes all through the tree. So I started trying to kill them, and so now I'm in a battle with the army ants. Put out diatomaceous earth. I've sprayed 50/50 orange oil on them in the access holes. I put wasn't quite sure about boric acid, but I went ahead and put some of that out, and there's just nothing that I've been able to do to get rid of them, but I do feel like they're hurting my tree. So I just kind of want to get your thoughts on
Well, I don't know what a black army ant is to begin with, John.
I don't mean army ant. I meant carpenter ant. I'm sorry.
Okay. Carpenter ants, yeah, is what I would have thought it was, and they don't attack living tissue. So we may have a bigger worry here than you thought. We may have something going on that's causing tissue to die in that tree, because the carpenter ants are only attacking dead and decaying wood. They're not attacking living tissue.
Okay. So that was the tree obviously was stressed in some way because of the root flares being covered. And
right.
It lost all those branches, so it did have some sort of stress.
How's the foliage look on the tree? How's the overall appearance?
Well, it looks pretty shabby because of the missing branches. Now it's just got these stub branches that are, you know, the big stubs that have, they're full of green leaves. So, I mean, it looks decent as far as all that goes. The other thing that's interesting is if you go out at night, it's got these kind of wheat poles with the brown stuff coming out of them. And then if I come out at night, there's a bunch of, probably 10 to 15 cockroaches up on the trunk.
Yeah, they like the taste of that sappy stuff. You better give more tree care or some good arborist a call and have them come out and take a look. There's something bad going on inside that tree.
Okay.
And it's causing the weeping, it's causing the dead wood, it's inviting the carpenter ants in and all of that kind of thing. One of the things that Moore has that you may want to chat with them about, they have an injector system. It's called ArborJet, and it was invented by my friend up in Boston, Peter Wild, and his company. And they have done some work. Moore's done some work here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area using it to inject phosphate products, phosphoric acid products, into trees, and they've seen tremendous results doing that. You know, not anything toxic, but kind of a fertilizer element. There's plenty of phosphorus in the soil. You'll hear the people that are anti-organics talk about the fact that we shouldn't put out anything that's has phosphorus in it as a fertilizer. But the truth is, a lot of plants, due to stress or bad, you know, soil chemistry or whatever, they don't have the ability to access the phosphorus that's in the soil. It's all tied up in some cases. And so when you inject this phosphorus into the vascular system of a tree, it a lot of times will shut down diseases and insect problems in there and correct the cause that brought them along in the first place.
Really?
Yeah, so I would, I think it'd be worth a little consultation with them to talk about that, and specifically the ArborJet and the phosphoric acid, the phosphorus injections.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Okay, nope.
All right, thank you.
Let me know. Thanks.
Bye.
The people that use the ArborJet, including my friend Peter Weil, use some toxic chemicals up there because they have these invasive species of insects like emerald ash borer and the adelgid and things like that. And their philosophy is it's better to inject those chemicals into the tree and kill them than to be spraying anything chemical all over the place. But in the process of learning how to do that and a little prodding from me, they've come up with a really effective neem product and this phosphorus jet. It's called PhosphoJet, I think is what they call it, actually, and some other things that are in the completely non-toxic category that do some pretty remarkable kinds of things. And if you've had a tree, serious big tree that's very important, you may want to contact them. And Moore is the only one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that does it. For those of you in other parts of the country, if you go to ArborJet, probably ArborJet.com, you can find people, other arborists around the country that offer similar services and use that equipment. It's pretty fascinating to watch it. How well, if you do it right, you bore the holes and set the thing up, how efficiently and how quickly the whatever you're injecting gets all through the vascular system of the tree and does some pretty neat work. 866-444-3478. Colorado Springs, it's Paul's turn.
Hey, Howard.
Hi, Paul.
I have a root flare question for you, too.
Okay.
I've exposed all my root flares on all my trees and little shrubs and little seedlings that I get from the conservation district. I was wondering, in the winter, in late fall, could I put mulch around there to protect them from the winter, and then maybe in the spring, like, take it away and so they can expose them again? Would that help? Be helpful?
Yeah, interesting question. I don't like doing that, Paul, because what tends to happen is people tend to leave it there. If you just did it in the winter, probably wouldn't be that big a deal. But you have to understand that even in cold climates, and in, a lot of people in the cold climates that deal with trees think that it helps the tree protect it against freeze to pile stuff up on the base of the tree. And it does just the opposite. It makes it stresses the tree. The flare isn't breathing properly like it's supposed to, like it's designed to do. And you actually have more root flare damage and trunk damage and freeze damage than if you had left it completely bare. If it's an adapted tree to where you are, to your area, leaving that flare has nothing but positive things that come from it.
Okay, I thought that would be like protected or something. I guess not. Also, I have a question. I mix up my own garret juice.
Mm-hmm.
On the leaves, there's like a brown residue or something that stays after a day or two. Is that okay? Or I think it would be just fine myself.
Yeah, it's fine. It's no big deal. In fact, one of the commercial products that's being experimented on right now and used a lot has quite a bit of that. That comes from the usually it comes from, in a commercial product, it comes from the humic acid portion of it. Are you making it with your own compost tea?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Well, how are you making your compost? What materials are going in it?
Mostly just weeds and kitchen scraps that I have around the house, and like tumbleweed, dry tumbleweed, stuff like that.
Oh, cool. Well, that won't last long at all. With your ingredients, the stain will be very temporary.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, sir. I love your show.
Thank you very much. Open line at 866-444-3478. Margaret is in Centerville, Texas. Hi, Margaret.
Hello. I'm calling back about a conversation a couple of weeks ago about Italian stone pines that
yes.
were dying on one side, and that was quite a mystery
yep.
until I sent someone, I can only see them, I'm in a wheelchair in my home, out to check on it and check the root flare. And based upon that, they have found that the whoever comes down the county road to trim trees
mm-hmm.
has taken off, has butchered my four remaining Italian stone pines.
That's not good.
And that, and they are not, they're no, there were no limbs over the road or threatening the road. It's just someone driving a machine that decided to do what it does. And that makes me sick.
And unfortunately, there's not much I can help you with there, Margaret, other than get them to try to get them to help you with the cost of improving the soil on that side of the plant and try to get some regrowth there and not do it again.
On the improve the soil on the side that is dead. They are continuing to brown, you know, more of the tree is what I could see.
Yeah, improving the soil on the side where there's been damage will have a direct effect on the stuff on that side. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Howard Garrett will be back after this.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria, combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business.
Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Let's go to Montana, somewhere in Montana, and talk to Tyler and see what's going on. Hey, Tyler.
How are you doing, sir?
Could not be doing better. What's up there?
Well, it's cold up here. That's what's up.
Yeah, we got a little cool weather here, believe it or not, the last couple of days. So,
oh, my poor wife lost her garden. We covered it and everything.
Oh, boy. Yeah, y'all have had some early snow and everything up in the northern part of the country. It's weird weather. It's been a roller coaster affair since last spring.
Yeah, it sure has. Well, sir, my question to you is, this summer, my wife got me some Granny Smith apples, and I bit into one and got all the way down to the core and found out that the seeds had sprouted inside the apple.
That's weird.
So, my wife got all smart and planted the seeds and put that little starter in her garden. Everything worked out good, and one of them actually sprouted into a tree. And my question to you is, do I need to pull it in for the winter or just leave it out and let it get hard on its own? I mean, it's in her garden. It's the only thing that's still green. Everything else is brown.
Well, they're pretty hardy little trees, the Granny Smith, and the only thing I'd recommend to you is try to let it harden off and take care of itself outside so you don't have to continue to do it forever.
Yeah.
The only exception to that you might consider, Tyler, is if you have a really warm spell that happens and then, you know, it drops to minus 20 or something ridiculously cold in a very short period of time after a warming period. That's when the most damage to plants is done, whether it's in Montana or in Texas or California or wherever it is, you know. But for the most part, you want to let that little Granny Smith harden off and be able to hold its own outside.
Okay. So apparently next week we're supposed to get up. We might see 70-degree weather, and then it's supposed to get you know, go in full fall.
Yeah.
So is that the kind of, because it's highs right now, it's like mid-60s.
If it's a gentle roller coaster, it's usually not that harmful. If it goes from really warm to in the same night, just dropping down tremendously, that's when you get some of the hurt. How big is the little tree right now?
Nine, 10 inches tall so far.
Just a little bitty thing. One thing that you may want to invest in to kind of baby it along during those bad periods, rather than putting mulch all over it or something like that, there's a product on the market called Floating Row Cover. Floating Row Cover comes under several brand names. It's a real lightweight spun material, and you can just put some sticks and make a frame and drape this stuff over it. It allows it to breathe. It allows the cold air and everything to come in so it doesn't hurt the hardening off, but it will protect the tree by at least 5 degrees and maybe more, and probably be all the protection that you need.
Okay.
Nothing is for sure, and you know, we were talking about weather,
right,
you know, and all, but
yeah,
if it were mine, that's what I would do.
Okay. Well, thanks for your help, sir.
Thanks for calling. Call us again. Let's see where we're going here next. Let's see, John in Burleson, Texas, next. Hey, John.
Good morning, sir. Hello.
Good morning. What's up?
Yes. I've got about 6 acres that I have in coastal, and I'm trying to not use any chemicals on it, but I do have some grass burrs that have been popping up, and I'm trying to go organic on that. Where would be the best place to get some bulk of the corn gluten meal for that pre-emergent?
It's tough. About the biggest container you can get it in would be 50-pound bags, John, and it wouldn't be very cost-effective there. For you, if you want to try it as a on a trial basis, you could. This isn't the right time to put it out, though. If it's grass burrs, you want to do that in early spring, like February the 15th, because they germinate and that becomes a summer weed. What I would maybe recommend that you do would be to put out an organic fertilizer of your choice now. Just whatever, you know, best deal you could get for putting out a bulk, and you can probably buy it from some of the companies that you hear advertise on the show here in bulk in the pallets or in the totes, and that would be the most cost-effective way to do it. And then set up a program where you are going to spray with Garrett juice, your own mixture or a commercial one, either one, at least on a quarterly basis. And if the budget allows, in the beginning, once a month. And that combination is probably going to do as much good for you and be a lot more cost effective.
Okay. So I could spray that Garrett juice in one of those sprayers, like a 25-gallon sprayer?
Yeah, you can spray it out of any kind of sprayer that you have. The only thing that you have to be a little careful about when you're going from spraying synthetic stuff to organic material, the organic material is a little thicker. And so sometimes you have to adjust the size of the orifices, the nozzles that you use for the spraying, and you'll just have to kind of experiment with that. And at worst case, use a little bit bigger nozzles.
Okay, all right. And I could start doing that right now.
Well, you can do an application now in the fall, be great, and then start doing it when things start growing again in the spring. Fire it up again.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
I appreciate the call. Mm-hmm. Appreciate everybody's call today. Raymond, hang on. I'll talk to you off the air before I get away from here. It was fun, a lot of good questions and some good tips today, as we always get. But remember that you can get your questions answered during the week at the library of dirtdoctor.com. Everything's in alphabetical order there. Or send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. Join our membership. Information's there for that. The newsletter's free. Just sign up right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. See you next time. Enjoy it.